You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 7 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Hewart, and as always, I have the wonderful Jeff Gargas with us. We have so much in store for this episode, talking to an incredible educator. But before we get to that, Jeff, how are you?
Ray, I am doing absolutely fantastic. It's episode number 7. We have had 6 amazing episodes so far, and this one is going to be absolutely unbelievable as well. We've got the amazing Kimberly Snodgrass with us. She's got 9 years teaching under her belt, plus a pretty cool background in marketing, which is really neat, her story of how she got here. Kim is a 7th grade ELA teacher in York, Nebraska. Kim, super, super excited to have you on. Really appreciate you taking some time to jump on here and chat with us and hang out today. How are you feeling right now?
Hey, thanks, guys. I am so excited to be here with you. I've had kind of a fun journey meeting everyone from the Grid Method and Mastery Chat, and enjoyed doing a little bit of blogging for you guys and that kind of thing. So I'm really excited to actually connect voices here. So looking forward.
We're going to have some really good time tonight. I'm really excited for this.
I think so.
I know Jeff gave you a little bit of an introduction, but when somebody asks you to describe yourself or asks you what you do, what's your typical answer?
Well, to describe myself, I would say I'm a very passionate, driven educator with, like Jeff said, a very unique background. Teaching, I would say, chose me, had no intention ever of becoming a teacher, and somehow here I am. My path kind of just led me here. So it's become my passion. It's become my dream job. I just had no idea that that's what my dream job was when I was little. So it's been a cool experience to have the whole thing unfold and the journey along the way.
That's amazing. Will you tell us a little bit about that journey?
You betcha. I started out in advertising, went to the University of Nebraska here, and got a degree in advertising with concentrations in English, marketing, and history. And then did that for a few years and kind of found myself into the human resources realm, and worked for a large corporation in Omaha and got my master's in business. And then a few years into that, or maybe more than a few, I don't want to age myself here, but I through a random conversation with a high school principal, ended up getting a teaching job because of my advertising background, had the content area credits I needed. So it was an interesting program. You had to get the job first, and then you could get into the program. So literally my first day teaching, I had never taken an education class or anything, just literally dove in, no clue what was going on. So that was a really cool experience, how it all worked out. And since then, I've kind of got part of a reading specialist endorsement, and I'm halfway through my 2nd master's in curriculum and instruction, and would never look back. I'm just so glad it turned out the way it did. So
that's such an awesome story. I love it. And it leads right into my question for you. So with this kind of unique background that you have and the journey that you've taken and getting in and starting your first day without even having a single class of education, you know, I always say that I've been fortunate to fail a lot because I learned from all my failures. It's what kind of formed me into the man I am today and the person I am, and led me to where I am. So I love to talk about it. I love to share those types of things. So can you share with us a time that you failed, a failure that you've had? It sort of take us there with you. How did that make you feel?
No, I really can't. no failure here. No, just kidding. Every single day. I don't know if it's bad or not, but I love failing. It's just, I love being challenged, thinking about new ways to try things. I think it's what kind of keeps me ticking, what keeps me going. I remember back to the first day I walked into a classroom and literally had no idea, which now looking back, I think it's just the best way. I would never change that because I had no preconceived ideas on how things should be. I just knew what I, as a learner, enjoyed being a part of and what I found incredibly dull and boring. And so I think that just coming into things like that kind of initiated you to constantly challenge the status quo and why is it done this way? Why can't I do it this way? And the kids like this better. What's really best for the kids? And that sort of thing, instead of having something instilled in you on how it should be through the whole process. So just, yeah, I fail all the time, but I love doing it because I love getting back up and trying a different way. So it's just energizing.
I love it. So now let's flip that around now. Can you tell us about a success you've had, whether big, small, whatever? Tell us about why it was a success for you, and then what did you take away from that?
Okay, well, I would say that this kind of plays off of the failure side of things. Because I love challenging myself, sometimes, just every now and then, you have a success. I would say professionally, the biggest success was diving into the Twitter world. And it happened through kind of a crazy, just random stroke of luck, just like getting into teaching did. I was, I had a Twitter account because the school that I work at is just a strong, supportive social media community, and they just really like to put information out there to the community about what's happening in the classroom and that sort of thing. And I had a personal kind of struggle with some things that were going on with my son's education, just differences in philosophies, I guess you could say, particularly over homework. And so I was up late one night stewing over it. And I'm like, where could I find some information about, you know, homework and just what's best practice and what's the trend doing? And so I get online and find myself on Twitter. And, you know, I had posted stuff about my classroom, of course, with like no hashtag or not tagging anybody. So all two of my followers could see what I was doing, which now I'm like, are you kidding me? But anyway, so I just randomly searched homework in the little search bar and up popped some stuff from Matt Miller. And I just, you know, being just fuming, stewing in the middle of the night, and I'm like, start retweeting like everything that has to do with homework, and 95% of it's from Matt Miller. And
he's awesome.
He is so awesome. And so randomly I just got connected into that world. Dave Burgess was like, hey, thanks for the retweets, and just kind of, oh my gosh, there's people that actually talk back to you on here. What the heck, you know? And Matt Miller like retweeted, and all of a sudden I'm just like, oh my goodness. And so that from that moment, it's just kind of blown up, honestly. Like, I just tried out the TLAP chat, and then I ended up on Mastery Chat, and you, like you said, Joy Kerr's Shift This Chat. And I just found like this desire or need or want professionally to collaborate and connect with people that maybe wasn't being quite met before was all of a sudden just amazing. Because in smaller communities, you don't always have, you know, all the people that have the common content or the common passion or interest as you do. And so I just found that in Twitter. And it's, I would say, any success I've had in teaching in the last year for sure has come from connections and collaborations and just sharing and learning and growing with the Twitter community. And so, sorry to go on and on, but that
I love that.
Such a successful thing, and
yeah,
I've just learned and grown so much as an educator. So
that's actually, you mentioned Joy Kerr's Shift This Chat. That's how you and I originally connected, which is awesome. So there's Twitter. Ray and I actually originally connected on Twitter as well, and you know, we talk about it all the time with our Mastery Chat and like the awesome community that's been built there, and the collaboration and the friendships and all the stuff that's been built from that. You know, we talk about how, if you think about 10, 15 years ago, your PLN, your network was basically like your building, or maybe just your hallway, or just your subject team. If you were lucky, maybe you were able to connect and do a lot of collaboration with other teachers and the other buildings in your district, or maybe a neighboring district, but it's very small. Now with things like Twitter, you know, with social media in general, it's endless. There are no geographic boundaries. You can connect with all these people, like you said, that have similar content, similar style, similar issues that maybe the person down the hall is not having because they don't teach the same way as you, or they aren't the same, you know what I'm saying? They don't have the same personality. So you have this ability to go beyond it. So I love that you went with that. I think that's a big thing. And I think so many teachers would say that, like the same thing you just recommended to other teachers, like to get on there and utilize that. So I love it.
And you know, it's not even just like getting on. It's like I was on, I just had no clue what I was doing. So if the people that know how to make the most of it, I guess, yeah, would share and teach their coworkers, you know, like mm-hmm. how awesome it can be for you professionally. I just think it would be mind blowing. Like the lady that is down the hall from me, she came in towards the end of the school year and was, you know, I took these pictures for this club that they had, and she wanted to put them out and wondered how to do it. And I kind of went through the whole thing, like explained, well, if you want anyone to see it besides just your followers, and then you're going to want to, you know, put the right hashtags on there. And if there's certain people or groups or clubs or businesses that you want to see it, you know, tag them. And I remember her coming back into my classroom and she's like, oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe all the people that have seen what we did, you know? And it was just kind of cool. So I go back to this Aaron Hogan quote.
I love this.
There's
quote.
A new word, Twitter quote.
Quote, I like it.
Twitter's not going to change your life, but the educators you meet there will. And I just think that's so true. Had a ISTE experience recently, my first ISTE, and it was just like what we kind of talked about before. You see people in real life, it's like Ready Player One, like, oh my gosh, you're real, and these people are just phenomenal, and you get to connect friendships and you learn about them and you can go to them with any question. Whereas until my current district that I'm in, I was the English department, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So who do you go to then? So it's such a great tool. Sorry.
And that's so important. No, don't be sorry. That's so valuable because we have teachers that are feeling so isolated and they're feeling like they're becoming stagnant, right? Like their career's plateauing, that right. They have nobody to collaborate with or nobody to learn from. And so to be able to go out to our social media, whether it be Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and just connect with teachers, I love, you know, the quote you mentioned from Aaron Hogan is actually pinned on your Twitter. I mean, like, yes. That's creepy, but I love that quote. I've seen it so many times. And it's a perfect reminder because I got on Twitter for a master's class. I mean, like, I literally had to make an account
yeah.
to back so they would I could graduate, right? And it was like, mm-hmm. and I'm hosting, you know, TLAP, and then all of a sudden Jeff Gargis comes into my life, and now I'm stuck with him.
And then boom. I'm just kidding.
I don't know if I heard that as a positive or not.
Oh, it's a positive.
Oh, it's funny. That's a great story, though. But there's so many like that. But mm-hmm. you just don't know what you don't know. You know what yeah. I mean? So
it sounds like anyone listening, if you need a Twitter, like, little shindig, you got to contact Kim and she'll give you the tutorial.
I will give you the overhaul on why you need to be on there. And it's yeah. just, it's like anything in life. You get out of it what you put into it. And so if all you're doing is lurking, you're not really going to get a lot out of it, you know? And, but if you're sharing and you're connecting and asking questions and giving feedback and giving ideas, then you're going to take away a ton.
You know, it's really interesting, Kim. We've talked a lot about growing your network, and that seems to be a really hot topic to talk about. We've actually talked about in a few other podcast episodes on how valuable it is to build this network. But going back to something you touched on earlier, really, I can't believe you said this, but you got into education without any education classes. Like, yeah. As a first year teacher, you like giggled at it. I need to like re-listen to your recording because you were like, oh, it was so fun. And in my mind, I could like feel the anxiety creeping into my chest that with like no support, you know. But we have teachers, you know, in August, we're starting taking on those first few experiences. And I think that's such an exciting time, right? When
right.
finally get back in their classes, whether it's their first day in their classroom or their 20th year first day back in their classroom. That's such an exciting part of education. So I have to ask you, of all the things going on in education right now, what are you most excited about?
Okay, well, my mind's going like 100 places right now, but when you're talking about that, it's like okay, you're going back to school, you're just starting school, you're a new teacher. And in my experience, I knew nothing. So all I had to focus on was building relationships. I didn't know the content, you know. I was just learning that as I went. I mean, when you're an educated person, you can figure out the content for the level of content I was teaching. But you can't just figure out relationships. So I literally, just because I needed to buy myself time trying to figure out things, spent so much time getting to know these kids. And that, looking back, I didn't even know that that was so important then. But it kind of set the bar for me every year. Like, they were willing to do just about anything for me because we learned learned about each other and grew together. And I think going in, if teachers just, I know you're excited to dive in and get things going and, you know, get into your love for your content and that kind of thing. But if you just spend some time, whether it's a week, whether it's 2 weeks, that time is priceless. Just getting to know your students, connecting with them. From there on out, whether it's recommending a book to a kid or understanding why they're having a bad day or anything like that, it just all goes back to building those relationships. So I think every year, because of that crazy first year experience, I always look forward to building the relationships. So just play some games, ask questions, laugh, have fun, you know, be playful, get to know each other.
That's so important. I have to ask you about the Hive Summit, though. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I can. So there's another cool Twitter connection. So
it is.
Yeah. Last year, I randomly decided, well, I read Explore Like a Pirate. I had no idea what that was. So I'm like, what's gamification? I like games. Yeah, I'll try this. So I did a unit with my class. Teenlit Olympics was kind of what we called it. It was basically like a way to prep for the test in a fun way. You know, I was trying to think, how can I make this fun? And so the kids, you know, made it countries and formulated, you know, histories and customs. And it was just, they formed communities and kind of started collaborating with Michael Matera a little bit there just because I was lost and, you know, what do I do? How do I do this? And he was such a huge help then. And that professional relationship has just kind of grown too, and met him in real life, which was crazy, and all kinds of things like that. So recently he was telling me about the Hive Summit, and, you know, this is all just kind of snowballed too, from our gamification collaboration. And I'm kind of a GIF person, love GIFing. And so I posted a few things for him just, you know, to promote people or to promote the Hive Summit, which is a free online professional development with just some of the biggest rock stars in education. It's unbelievable. It's free. So I was just, you know, wanting to share that message with people. And he saw some of this tweets and he's like, hey, would you want to help me out a little bit? And so of course, you know, it's summer. I love making and creating GIFs. That kind of goes back to my advertising side of things. And so I just kind of dove in and helped him out a lot. But it's just unbelievable that these people, these professional speakers, educators, rock stars, whatever you want to call them, are providing like hour-long free professional development for teachers right now. And that goes through August 14th. So I'm not exactly sure when this will air, but if it's still going on, go register. You can get the back videos, and there we have 10,000 teachers in it right now, which is crazy for the first year.
I'm one of them.
I
love it.
And you can watch it anywhere, anytime, doing anything, and it's just awesome. So,
well, I know this will air after the Hive Summit is over, but I can say that as I've continued to go through it, and we're just a few days in now, it is absolutely worth checking out. So I'm going to say that it's been pretty successful. I'm hoping that they do it again next year. So keep an eye out for that Hive Summit. I know that I'll be tweeting about it when that comes up. And obviously I'm sure Kim will as well the following year. So,
and what you can do now is, if it's going to air after, is these are some of the speakers that you should definitely check out. So you got Carrie Bauckham talking about sketch notes, which is an amazing educational tool, and it can be an ed tech tool even. Dave Burgess, always off the charts, awesome with you know, getting passionate and inspired about teaching. Michael Cohen, the tech rabbi, super awesome with creative inspiration and just stressing the importance of creativity in the classroom. And he has a ton of great ideas on his page. Tara Martin just had a book come out, Be Real. And she is the book snaps queen. So lots of cool things you can do in any content area with book snaps. Matt Miller, we've talked about him a little bit. So ditch the textbook, ditch the homework. Michael Matero, we talked about him, the gamification and game-based learning and just finding joy in the journey and making teaching playful. Sarah Thomas, you know, behind the EduMatch whole phenomenon. And so she's got a lot of cool stuff. And then coming up still, we have Joe Sanfilippo, an administrator who's really passionate about doing great things for education, and Rick Wormelli about, you know, fair isn't always equal. And he's got a lot of grading philosophies that are awesome too. So even if you don't make it to the Hive, definitely go check out those people. You will learn so much.
Absolutely. So much. Well, earlier you did tell us a little bit about what you would recommend for those new teachers, really diving into ensuring that they're staying present in the field, really making good connections. Is there any other piece of advice that you would have for a teacher, maybe specifically newer to the career, right? That first year, second year, third year, kind of dabbling in the classroom. What do they need to know?
Just do what you know is right. I wish, you know, looking back, like maybe you wouldn't have listened to the people who have just done the same thing forever. And when you try and say, well, can we do it this way? And they're, you know, nope, this is how we do it. This is the way we've always done it. You just have to do it that way. But yet you don't really understand or you don't really agree with that. Just find a way to bring your passion and what you believe is right into your classroom. And I love what Dave Burgess says, don't let critics steal your soul. I mean, if you think about that, when somebody's getting you down or going after whatever you're thinking is right or is you're passionate about, just there's always going to be critics. Just go with what you know is right and be you. And just if your passion is coming into the classroom, you're going to love your job. Your kids are going to love being in your classroom. And forget it even feeling like a job, you know, it'll just feel like fun. So
absolutely.
I love it. Be you, be real. Tara would be proud.
So fun.
I love it. All right. So we're going to do these next six here, Cam. We're going to do them 15 seconds or less. You ready to roll?
Let's do it.
All right. What is one ed tech tool you cannot live without?
EduGifs.
She did say that earlier. She loves her GIFs.
She does. She really, I know she does.
I gotta up my game in this, Kim. I'm gonna up my game.
What book are you reading right now?
Be Real, Tara Martin.
Of course. Who do we all need to follow on Twitter today?
Today. Well, I'm gonna just say Dave Burgess because most of all the edu awesomeness seems to stem from there. So follow him.
What's the best YouTube channel or website for educators?
I'm gonna go with Mr. Matera's YouTube channel. And he also has his podcast on there, Well Played. So
awesome.
And joy.
What is one daily, weekly, or monthly routine every teacher should get into?
Every teacher needs to Google Teach Like a Pirate hooks. Not even kidding. Just do it and use them.
What is the best piece of advice you have ever received?
Besides don't let critics steal your soul, I would say in Culturize with Jimmy Casas, your vibe attracts your tribe.
Oh, so I like
love
that.
It.
Think about it. Yeah.
So I have one final question for you, Kim, and we feel like we've gotten so much out of this, right? We talked about relationship building. We talked about PLNs. We talked about, gosh, so much stuff. But maybe the most important question that we're going to ask you is how to continue this conversation after our podcast, right? So we learn all this information, and then now how do we connect with you so we can keep the conversation going?
I live on Twitter. So you can find me there 24/7. it's always on me wherever I go. So at Kim Snodgrass, and send me a message, tag me in a tweet, whatever. I will always respond. So love connecting that way.
awesome, and you guys will probably be able to find Kim every now and then doing some guest blogging with us over at teachbetter.com. And as always, you know, you can find all the links to all the resources and amazing educators that we've talked about and things that we've discussed today with Kim over at teachbetter.com. So be sure to head over there. And we'll also put a link to Kim's Twitter so you can connect with her right away. So, Kim, thank you so much for coming on and spending some time with us and chatting with us and sharing your really cool and unique journey and your passion. We truly, truly, truly appreciate your time and your experience and your love for what you do.
Thank you. You guys are awesome. So glad to be here.
And until next time, let's get out there. Let's teach better.